This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. In about half an hour, we're going to be having The Breakfast Grill, where Lin Mark speaks to Natalie Black, Her Majesty's Asia-Pacific Trade Commission.
So in case you're wondering who Her Majesty is, it's Queen Elizabeth of the UK. Well, she's got a, not Queen Elizabeth, but Natalie. Natalie's got her work cut out for her, because she's got 11 months before the UK leaves the single market.
Akan datang.
So she's got to be one. She's one of the few people that have got to find new markets for the UK outside of the European Union, and of course the Asia Pacific, where most of its former colonies reside. And therefore, she's going to be very much an integral part of the UK's government in terms of finding a new market. So I'm sure Lin Mark will be discussing all these and more issues with her.
Yeah, and that's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, we're turning to one of our neighbours, not down south, but looking up north, because things aren't looking so good for Thailand. Now, they've been pegged as a success story in containing the COVID-19 outbreak. But unfortunately, the same can't be said of its economy. Now, the Bank of Thailand says that the gross domestic product is forecasted to contract by 8.1% this year. And that's the worst when compared with other economies across Asia.
So, obviously, we will see what happens with the northern part of the neighbour. And the man to speak to is Chanon Bunach, the Southeast Asia economist, who joins us on the line this morning. And he's the man that's speaking to us from Nomura, the Japanese bank.
Yeah, thank you for holding. First question, the forecast of Thailand is contracting at 8.1%, and that's going to be a bit of a large shock to the GDP. Now, is the country's reliance on tourism the main reason behind what is being considered the country's biggest ever GDP decline?
Hi, guys. Good morning, everyone. Of course, for Thailand, right, we know for the past many years, the economy has been driven mainly by tourism sectors. But because of the borders are now closed because of the pandemic, in the second quarter of this year, we don't see any tourists coming into Thailand at all. So it's going to be the worst decline in history, and the second quarter will be the sharpest decline in growth, of around 10%.
Yeah, Shannon, the Thai government reckons the international travellers will drop 68% from last year. So there's an expectation for domestic tourists to take the limelight. What's your opinion of how much they can mitigate the damage?
I think if you look at the spending power of foreign tourists and domestic tourists, right, I think it cannot be offset. For example, last year, foreign tourists coming into Thailand and spend around 11% of GDP. But if you look at Thai tourists who go overseas, they only spend around 2.6% of GDP. So only around 2.6% can offset the 11% drop. So it's going to be a big gap of around 8 to 9% of GDP, which still will be missing in Q2 and Q3. Of course, the government has started to relax the controls of, the border controls. But I think the speed of relaxation, the speed of opening up the borders will be quite slow, given what's happening overseas. We've seen some, second wave in the countries that we see as a potential for the travel bubble, like Australia, Japan, Korea.
And one segment targeted by the Thai government, of course, is the high-income leisure traveller with packages targeted at Phuket, Samui and the Pagan regions. Now, do you think this target market will be comfortable with travelling again? And, will there be the viability of a travel bubble to boost these chances?
Right. Like I said, I think the reopening of borders will be done quite gradually. Previously, I think the government wants to, open the borders around July. But then from the 1st of July, the government just, only allow essential travelers who are, official business person or students to come back to Thailand. That's because they realize the trade-off between the health crisis and the economic crisis. So if you think about it, you know, tourism revenue, right? You know, if you deduct domestic spending and, you know, foreign spending, it's around 8 to 9% of GDP. But if you're opening the border and the second wave comes to Thailand, we haven't seen local outbreak, local transmission case in the past 40 days. So if the second break comes, then we have to reintroduce lockdown measures again, and the impact could be more pervasive than 8%. So I think the reopening will be done quite gradually. The concern here is the cities which rely significantly on tourism, like Phuket and Samui. If you look at the mobility data from, you know, like Apple, right? They provide how much people going out compared to the pre-COVID period. And you can see that the mobility index in Phuket is now 80% below below the pre-COVID period, while some other area has been picking up already, like the economic activities in the EEC area, the Eastern Economic Corridor. Now they're already back to the pre-COVID, up from the pre-COVID of 40%. Bangkok is down, still down by 10%, but close to normalized. But if you look at Phuket, it's still 80% below the normal level.
Chana, what's your sense of the government's stimulus measures so far in terms of attempting to reinvigorate the local economy?
Right. Thailand is one of the countries which spending the most in terms of the fiscal stimulus, but there is a bit of concern there. The first thing I want to mention is the cabinet reshuffle, which may raise some policy continuity in coming months. You know, yesterday, Finance Minister, he's already resigned from the biggest party, which is the leading coalition party, Palang Basharat. And later on in the day, Prime Minister said that the cabinet reshuffle could come in any time. And I think in the next 3 months, we will see that. There's an increasing probability that Finance Minister may not continue to be in his position. So that means the fiscal policy, the stimulus measures, there are some uncertainty there. Also, when they started to talk about fiscal stimulus, right, it's quite big. But if you look at the details, we didn't see much, you know, how much money will be allocated for what. I think it's still quite unclear there. And given the political uncertainty is quite high, I'm also concerned about this one as well.
Okay, thank you for your time. That was Shannon Bunnak, Southeast Asia economist for Nomura, painting a rather big picture for Thailand. I think the other thing that's, you know, affecting the economy is actually, ironically, the strength of the Thai baht, which you would think would be weak considering the economic outlook is bad. But the Thai baht has been an outperformer. It's actually gained 6% against the US dollar in the past 3 months. Not so good for any for the Thais to export their way out of a problem.
Yeah, it makes it less appealing, right? Because, you know, I just did the 5-year chart for the ringgit Thai cross rate, right? We used to be able to get 11 Thai baht for every ringgit. Right? No more. It's now 7.3.
Exactly.
So, like, forget about it, right? It's going to be so tough. Not to say the exchange rate makes it conducive. And then the Thai-US cross rate is only 31. So, I mean, it used to buy you like tons more, 40 plus, right?
So they're in a bit of a tight spot. But up next, we'll be speaking to Anthony Lee, Chairman of General Insurance Association of Malaysia, otherwise known as PIAM. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.